Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Mike, did you know that the average age for a first-time mom in the U.S. is a little over 27 years old?
That actually sounds about right. I'm sure it's higher than it used to be. My mom was 19 when she had me.
Yeah, I definitely am happy I didn't have a kid at 19. I was not ready for that.
Of course, this is for human moms, right?
Exactly, for human moms. There is one new mom in Philadelphia who took her trip to first-time motherhood slow and steady. She's actually a Santa Cruz Galapagos tortoise, and she waited until she was 97 years old to have babies.
97. Well, that's a long wait, but it did seem inevitable. Because her name is Mommy, after all. Now, I spoke with Lauren Augustine, who is a curator of reptiles and amphibians at the Philadelphia Zoo, all about Mommy and her new tortoise babies. Now, you heard earlier from another Lauren, one of our producers. I'm your host, Mike Rogers, and this is Something Offbeat. I want you to tell me a little bit about Mommy. You guys have had Mommy for a long time.
Yep. Mommy arrived in 1932. And so we've had her as a resident here at the Philadelphia Zoo for 93 years, which is just incredible. She's been a fan favorite from the staff to the guests. She's been on exhibit here for a very long time. And she's just a great tortoise, very gregarious, moves in and out of her habitat as needed. And is a fan favorite for the BTS tours, the behind-the-scenes tours as well.
I'm going to guess she's pretty low maintenance.
Well, for almost 300 pounds, yeah, she's as low maintenance as you can get, I guess. Luckily, they're herbivores, so they eat a lot of celery.
It is incredible to me. She's been at the zoo for 93 years, she's only four when she got there, so she's 97 now.
Yeah, estimated.
Estimated. And born where? Tell me about where she was born and how the zoo came to acquire her. Although it's been so long, maybe you don't know.
Yeah, I think I don't know the exact details. I was not here. But she is a Western Santa Cruz Island Galapagos tortoise. And she was wild hatched in the Galapagos Islands and brought back to Philadelphia on an expedition. And she's been here for 93 years.
Now, before these latest eggs that she laid, when was the last time that Mommy reproduced?
So these are Mommy's first living offspring for Western Santa Cruz Island Galapagos tortoises. She had historically laid eggs, but she hasn't in 20 years before she started laying in 2023.
She's in her 90s. That must have stunned you guys.
Well, fortunately, we were planning for this and we did matchmake her with a Brazo through the Species Survival Plan. So zoos in the United States work collaboratively to breed critically endangered species. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, they did genetic testing on the Galapagos tortoises in the United States, identifying that Mommy was a Western Santa Cruz Island Galapagos tortoise, and that a Brazo, the male that we brought in, was also that same species. And so we identified them genetically through the Species Survival Plan, and that's when we moved him to Philadelphia to be with her.
Mike, is there anything you've done a little later in life than normal? I know myself, I learned to drive a little later than all of my friends, like a year later than they all took driver's ed. And I remember it being a little embarrassing when they would have to come pick me up already driving.
It's interesting because that is usually a guy thing. Because I waited to get my first driver's license. I think I was like 17 and a half. Although my daughters, they were down at the DMV on their 16th birthday the minute it opened.
Now, I can drive now, but I still kind of hate driving. I have really bad eyesight and I have to wear my glasses when I drive. And I just prefer to take the train or to get an Uber.
Sometimes, though, the wait for good things can be worth it. Now, for Mommy, waiting for the right tortoise, it was named Abrazo, was worth it. So you moved him to Philly for this specific purpose.
That's correct. He was at Riverbank Zoo, and he has did breed and produce offspring there. But since he is wild hatched, just like mommy, they are genetically a perfect match. And we wanted to capture mommy's genetics in our population. Really, really important, especially as she is encroaching 100.
The fact that this matchmaking took place, it kind of answers my next question, which is it common or even possible for giant tortoises to have hatchlings this late in life? Obviously, it is.
Yes, certainly. They can live over 150 years. What's unique about this is her first time at almost 100 years old. Usually, we would pair up tortoises at a younger age, and they would reproduce, you know, in the earlier ages of their life and then throughout their lifetime. So it's just very unique that we were able to capture her genetics so late in life, and we're really fortunate and really, really happy.
So how many eggs in all did mommy lay?
So mommy laid a clutch of 16 eggs in November. And of those 16 eggs, we had 4 incubated for females, which hatched starting in late February. So we have 4 female offspring. They have temperature sex determination, which means that the temperature we incubate the eggs determines the sex of the offspring. And so we put some eggs in for females and some eggs in for males as recommended by the population manager.
So how are they doing? Has the public gotten to see them yet?
Yeah, we debuted the tortoises on the 23rd of April, which was mommy's 93rd anniversary arrival at the zoo. And they are on exhibit in the Reptile and Amphibian House. And yes, people are coming to see them. We have lines sometimes on the weekends for people to come and see the hatchlings. All 4 are visible in the building.
What happened to the other 12 eggs in the clutch?
Some eggs didn't develop. So that's pretty normal, especially for mommy just not being cycled for 20 years. So it's not surprising. So some eggs showed no signs of development and others are being incubated at a separate temperature.
This is incredible. So she's 97. He's 96. So mommy's a little bit of a cougar.
Just a little bit.
It's okay. My wife is a year older than me. So
there you go. And out of 100 or 2, you know?
What's a year, right? What is going to happen to these 4 hatchlings as they grow? Are they going to stay in Philly or go to other zoos?
It will depend on the population management of the species in North America. So we'll work with the species survival plan. We will likely keep, you know, 1 or 2 of these hatchlings, mostly because we would love to just continue mommy's legacy here in Philadelphia for a century to come, right? But depending on where we need to move them for their genetics to be paired up and breed to continue the sustainability of our population in North America, that could make them move to another institution in the future.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
So according to the Brookfield Zoo in Illinois, the Species Survival Plan program, it began back in 1981. And to be included in the program, species have to meet certain criteria, such as being endangered in the wild.
The Association of Zoos and Aquariums says that there are hundreds of these programs going today. Black-footed ferrets, California condors, and red wolves are some of the species that have already been brought back from near extinction because of the programs.
You could almost think of it like that Augustine basically playing matchmaker in order to save species.
Yeah, like a high-stakes Tinder, but for animals.
I like that. You're just like a little tortoise Cupid.
Yes, we're just matchmaking. That's the whole shtick behind the SSPs, making sure we have really robust populations and a sure of colonies for the future.
Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. Tell me about the program, the Species Survival Plan. How is this going to help species like the Santa Cruz Island tortoise?
These programs are incredibly important. So we obviously in zoos and modern zoos are very passionate about spreading the word about species biodiversity and conservation. Island species such as Galapagos tortoises are very susceptible to threats. And so we always pride ourselves on having these species here as representatives of their wild counterparts and making sure we are educating our guests about the threats to these species and the things that we can do to protect them. And so in order to maintain species in our population, but also to preserve their genetics for the future of all the populations of Galapagos tortoises, we collaboratively manage them. So we move them around between accredited institutions to get ideal genetic matches because we want to perpetuate high genetic diversity in our population for the health of that population. And so I can't have all the 400-pound Galapagos tortoises here in Philly. We have nothing else. So we have to spread them around, and then we need to move them to be paired up appropriately over the generations to make sure that we are perpetuating a great and healthy population.
Tell me about these hatchlings. How big are they right now?
They're small. They're around 100 grams. So I keep saying they fit in the palm of your hand or the size of a tennis ball. They're adorable.
And they will get to be how big?
So male Galapagos tortoises, Abrazo's around 410 pounds and mommy's around 285. So around 300 pounds. So they get very big.
And at what age would they be considered fully grown?
So they'll become sexually mature in about 2 decades, but they will continue to grow throughout their lives.
That's incredible. They'll stay at the zoo for that period of time until they're grown?
I would imagine that we will probably definitely retain a few of her hatchlings long term because of the legacy and how important they are.
What do they eat?
They're herbivores. So they're eating grasses. So in the wild, we actually consider them ecosystem engineers. They're constantly grazing. And what that does is it creates habitat for other species by keeping a habitat in primary succession because they're constantly grazing and kind of bulldozing through habitat, making paths and trailways. And so we feed them a lot of vegetation, dried grasses, and haze.
I know that with humans, when humans have babies late in life, sometimes it's kind of hard for the parents to keep up with the kids. Is that going to be the case with these tortoises?
Well, mommy's a go-getter, I will say, but we will keep them separate from their parents. And so, yeah, mommy and Abrazo are still growing and they'll grow at a very slow rate throughout the rest of their lives. And the babies will grow much quicker. It's something we actually have to be very attuned to as animal caretakers. We manage their growth. So we're weighing and measuring them monthly and regulating their diet with our Department of Nutrition here to make sure we don't grow them too quickly. Just like people, if you grow too fast, get too big, you can have consequences, arthritis, reproductive consequences. So we really want to manage their health, make sure their shell growth is going well and perfect. And so we are trying to align them with the trajectory of wild tortoises.
How exciting was it for you and everyone else at the zoo when that first little hatchling came out? You guys must have gone nuts.
Is the understatement. 4 months of incubation and the animal care team here, they are tracking the eggs, checking in on them weekly, looking at their development and following them throughout the last 4 months. So to come in and see the shell is broken on one and just, we call it pipping when they use their egg tooth from the inside to start breaking out of the shell. It was an extremely exciting moment. Everybody at the zoo was rejoicing over the first egg that started pipping.
Well, that's really cool. I have one last question. Do they have names yet?
They do. They were just recently named after the Golden Girls. So our 4 females are named Sophia, Dorothy, Blanche, and Rose.
That's perfect. That is absolutely perfect. They're probably going to live to be as old as the Golden Girls, too.
Absolutely. When you see her,
I'm Mike Rogers. Thanks so much for listening to Something Offbeat. This episode's written and produced by Lauren Barry and Chris Blake, with audio editing by Chris Blake and original music by Myron Kaplan. Now, to keep listening, subscribe to us on the Odyssey app, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have your own offbeat story that you think we should cover, we'd love to hear about it. Send it to us at somethingoffbeat@audacy.com.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.